All right, back on the Young Turks. In hour one, we were talking about the Korean War. Not the one that's going to happen, but the one that ended in 1948. And so John Iadarola was reading about it recently. And so we / the South Korean allies dropped an untold number of bombs on North Korea, leveled almost every house in some of the cities in North Korea, and they still wouldn't give up. And now part of that is obstinance, part of it is the old Soviet mentality. They're never part of the Soviet Union, but they're part of that communist bloc. And so the same thing with Stalingrad. Now, Stalingrad was great because they were fighting the Nazis, and no matter how much the Nazis bombed Stalingrad, they would not fucking surrender. And so that turned the war around, and it was historically important and wonderful. But also you read into it a little bit more, and Stalin had ordered that if anyone went to surrender, to shoot them in the head. Okay, so now that also happened in North Korea to some degree. Okay, so but I want to tell you a personal story. My physics teacher in high school was Mr. Pinfield. Okay, now super random fact, some of you guys that are around my age might remember, his son was Matt Pinfield, who was an MTV host and VJ. Okay, you guys won't remember because you're too young.
This is when MTV played music?
Yes, yes, that's right, all the way back then, okay? So anyway, Mr. Pinfield walked around on a cane because he was in the Korean War and had gotten hurt there. And one day he's like, oh, Jane, you're Turkish. Let me tell you about the Turks I fought with in Korea. Okay, here, fine, we'll do two fun Korean War stories, okay? One's even more personal relating to TYT. So in Korea, the Americans were there, obviously, South Koreans and the Turks. Those were the three biggest contingents. There were many, many other countries that were represented, but for whatever reason, there was a huge Turkish contingent there because they were part of the Allies fighting back against the communists. And Mr. Pinfield served with the Turks, obviously under the Americans, but alongside the Turks. So he said at one point they were surrounded, the American forces that Mr. Pinfield was with and the Turkish forces, by the North Koreans. And the American commander on the scene went to the Turkish commander and said, we're surrounded, we have to surrender. And the Turkish commander said, oh, that's an interesting point, took out his gun and put it to the American commander's head. And said, we never surrender. And so there's no surrendering here. We will fight our way out. Okay?
Wow.
So now this is Mr. Pinfield telling the story, you know, I don't know. I wasn't there, right?
Yeah.
Now, if that happened today, we'd have an international incident over it. And America would want to invade Turkey, right, over that. So we all, of course, being, I think we were juniors in high school, we're like, so what happened, Mr. Pinfield? He's like, well, I'm here, aren't I?
Wow.
He said, and I said, but weren't you pissed that the Turkish commander put a gun to the head of your commander, the US commander?
Yeah, I'm putting your life at stake, essentially.
That's right,
yeah.
Right, you might have died there, you might have all died. He's like, no, we all thought it was ballsy and amazing, and we fought our way out.
Wow.
That's
super interesting.
Yeah.
Super interesting.
So I was like, wow, okay. So that was the old days, and that's how apparently they rolled back in the day, and everybody was fine, and then we got back to fighting together.
That's so admirable to have that spirit. Do you know what I mean?
It is. Don't put a gun to anybody's head.
Yeah, don't put a gun to anybody's head. No, no, I meant more for Mr. Pinfield being like, yeah, let's get ourselves and let's do this.
I feel like we need to hit. Is Mr. Pinfield still living? I feel like we need to get some sort of script written out of that.
I know,
right? Pretty good movie. Yeah. Pretty interesting movie. So,
I don't know, but I'd be surprised. He was fairly old back then.
He was.
Yeah. Mr. Pinfield and I got along great until we didn't. And then he was part of the folks who decided to suspend me once because I'd cursed too many times at teachers.
No.
So then I got my own show so I could curse all the time.
Well, that was my problem all the way from the beginning, which is that I did not have proper respect for authority figures. Mm. And by the way, Mr. Pinfield was right. I did curse and I should have been suspended for that. Okay. And I did fight my way out of that suspension. Anyway, so that was a fun little story.
Yeah.
Fun since he survived and was our teacher. And so here's a more interesting story out of Korea. Steve O's dad was in Korea.
Oh, I love this story.
Yeah.
I love this story.
I haven't.
Okay, yeah. So Steve-O's dad is in Korea at the time, of course, and he gets assigned to be the cook for the Turkish soldiers fighting in the Korean War.
No.
Okay. And the UN keeps giving the Turkish soldiers spam, but since they're Muslim, they don't eat it.
Oh.
Because it's ham, right? So they like Mr. O, and they're like, do you want it, Mr. O? He's like, sure, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And he goes and he buries all of the spam. Okay, he can't eat all that spam. So he goes and buries it. After the war is over, he goes and takes it out and sells it. Okay, and that is part of how they got the money to move to America.
How amazing is that?
Okay.
That's mind blowing.
And then it turns out, you know, his son, one of his best friends growing up, is Turkish.
Wow.
He's like, oh my God, how unbelievable.
I thought you, the way you were going in this story, it was like you just fed Steve spam from an early age and Steve just grew like an obsession with spam. Like, we got spam in TYT, where's our spam?
We still have it here. Still with spam, you could still have it.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
So he sold that to, I guess, people in his country and then was able to leave and come to the United States.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
So, O family, you're welcome. See, there's Islam actually being slightly helpful.
There you go. Right? Very true. Very true. I love that he buried it. That's like the best part of the entire story.
I know, isn't that such a super cool.
You just like imagine him like shoveling and then like putting all this spam in the ground.
Yeah, there's like a Shawshank Redemption kind of feel to that.
Yeah.
To that so story. Yeah.
Does anyone actually like, have you guys ever eaten spam? Hannah, I would go out on a limb and say that never in your life have you eaten spam.
What would give you that impression?
Considering
Francis.
I saw you walk in every day with a concoction that looks like the gardener has whipped it up for you.
It's like, straight out of the lawnmower.
It's great, it's organic.
And by looking at me, I'm going to assume that you think I have.
No, because I've been, one of the first clips I was on, the Young Turks, I believe, was when I was doing Twitter Storm, and someone asked you a question, is like, Cenk, why did you never? Why do you not stay true to your Muslim faith or something along the lines? And you were like, bacon. And you said, I smell bacon. So I was like, okay, I guess it was bacon. I don't imagine anyone really converted because spam was so good.
No. Yeah. I think I once tried it and I was like, oh, this is as undelicious as I would have imagined. And that was the only time I've ever tried a piece of it. I mean, because there's too many great, great food in the world to waste your time eating spam. And look, no disrespect. I guess some people have to, right?
Yeah.
And I went through years and years of my life on mac and cheese and cereal. Is it because there wasn't other great food? No, that's all I could afford.
Yeah.
Right.
So I hear you on that, brothers and sisters. But if you can, I would avoid it.
I would too. Interesting.
So one last thing on the how life's a full circle. Then Mr. O, this is another story I probably told on one other post game. Mr. O paid back the favor to the Turks because he helped me get out of, actually it was several traffic tickets.
Oh, really?
Because Mr. O ran the 7-Eleven, one of the 7-Elevens in town. Oh. And he used to give free coffee to the cops.
Oh.
So the cops in East Brunswick, you want to talk about white privilege? We had O privilege.
And he never gave free Pepsis, just free coffees?
Just free coffees, okay? But all the cops in East Brunswick loved Mr. O. So Steve could drive like a maniac through town, it doesn't matter, he'd get pulled over and say, oh, so nice to see you again. They're like, wait, are you Mr. O'Sun? Oh, yes, I am. They're like, oh, you're free to go. Okay.
Wow.
And he told me that later, like in our senior year, and I got pulled over right as I was almost at Steve's house. And I was like, oh, I was going to visit Mr. O. And the guy's like, well, I was going to give you 3 tickets because you're a monster. Okay. But I'll knock it down to 1 and the lightest infraction because you're going to see Mr. O.
Damn.
That's privilege.
Damn.
Yeah, I could just imagine Steve would take full advantage of that.
Oh, totally.
He would have been flying around, no doubt.
All right. So, last thing is, I promised you guys my son's reaction to what I do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So now people come up to me fairly regularly. And so, a couple of weeks ago, my daughter said, Mina Baba, how do they all know your name, right? And so I explained, and they kind of know that I have a YouTube show, and they certainly know what YouTube is because they watch YouTube Kids and they watch music videos on YouTube and stuff. And so they think that's cool. That's like Like they probably think, you know, they're 6 and 4. They probably think half the dads in the world do YouTube shows.
Yeah.
Right.
Like what do they know?
But that's also their really young generation, so that's their version of TV. You know what I mean? That's their version of like the biggest media.
Right. So you would think that they would want to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And sure, and he does. He wants to do YouTube shows and stuff. But then I explained to him like the story of Democracy Spring. Because I know that they're really young, but I'm trying to teach them at an early age, and I'm treating them some cases like adults. Yeah, because I think that if you have high expectations, they'll live up to it, I hope, right? So I explained how I went and got arrested, but it was for a good cause, because it was a law that's not the right law. 99% of the laws are good, and you make sure you obey them, and yada, yada. But if you're going to do it, you know, you should do it in a certain way, and there's this thing called protest. And I said, look, I was one of the leaders of that, and I explained that leaders eat last. That's a saying. And so I was out there the longest. I was in jail, kind of, right? It was a big warehouse that they kept us in. The longest we were, some people were let out at 4 in the afternoon. We were let out at midnight because 1,400 people had been arrested. And we were at the end. And in that case, it was also literal. We hadn't eaten all day, mm-hmm. right? So I explained that. I said, but there was a really cool moment, as I've told you guys in a different post game. That when I walked into the warehouse, I was one of the last guys to walk in, and there's over 1,000 people there at the time, and they all spontaneously started chanting "Jang, Jang, Jang, Jang," which was awesome and one of the greatest moments of my life. Okay, so I explained the whole thing to him, and I'm like, "So what do you think?" He's like, "Nope, I don't want to be a leader."
Not just I don't want to be on YouTube. I don't want to be a leader.
Yeah, I don't want to be a leader. And I'm like, "Why?" He's like, "Leaders eat last." To him, he's like, "Where's the question? This is not complicated."
He's like, "I want the food." Right? I get it.
Yeah, it's like, why would I want to stay in jail the longest, and why would I want to eat less?
That's amazing. It's just kids have just such brute honesty, man. Like, there's no way around it. Amazing. But with the name Prometheus, I was just like in my head, just envisioning him to just stand up and give a speech, but like, "My name's Prometheus Maximus, son to a dad that was in jail."
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, look, naming him Prometheus is questionable on my part, of course, because and it's true. You can tell some things, not everything, some things by what people name their kids, right? So I, of course, envy Prometheus, the mythical character. Mm-hmm. I think he's my favorite mythical character. That's why I named my son after him, right? And joy, well, you know, those are the things I care about, doing the right thing and being happy, right? Yeah. And this is another topic we often discuss. With Trump, for example, he named his last son Barron. Because he looks up to the robber barons. I mean, Baron is such a incredibly weird name to name your son this day and age. Right. You know what I'm saying? Now, it's not, I don't want to overanalyze, but it's a little something. And Ivanka and Jared named their kids after the Kennedys' kids. Isn't that interesting? So it's, you can't prove it. It's Joseph, Theodore, by itself, those two, whatever, right? But their daughter's name is Arabella. Arabella was the one, was Jackie's stillborn baby. Okay, so it's kind of weird, right? So the theory is those are Kennedy-esque names.
Have they come out and said that?
I don't think they have. Okay. So to be fair to them, we don't know that anywhere near with any degree of certainty, right? And maybe they just liked Arabella for a different reason, right? And here they are, they wanted to be kind of wanted to be political royalty, right? Or media royalty. And here we are, right? So watch out where you name your kid.
Yeah. Well, when you're in LA, I think I actually, when you first told me, I like the name Prometheus. And I mean, I like how you abbreviate it as well. But he's going to be running around with a bunch of apples and Norths, like in all these names that are sent out there just based on whatever their favorite fruit is or whatever else. I think that more often than not, specifically in America, like as I come from Scotland, and most people are named after specific, like what their historical context is, or if it's a family name that's my mother's side's Irish, my dad's side's Irish, they wanted to name me after my grandfather on the Irish side, so France is a very Irish name. But here, it becomes a popularity thing, and I think that it moves away from the meaning behind it rather than, okay, what can be the most unique and hardest to pronounce when it comes to LA?
Real quick funny story is I actually named my sister. My little sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was supposed to be Hannah and Emily, or but they're gonna name her Emily or Hannah and Hillary. They hadn't decided yet between Emily and Hillary.
Mm-hmm. I vote against Hillary.
And so I guess
I don't know what her name is, so I'm kidding. I don't know which one.
It's not Hillary. You're safe. You're safe. Okay,
right. So I vote for Bernie.
They hadn't decided yet, and they were like holding her, and like I came to the hospital, and like she's a little baby. I climbed on the bed. I was like, I'm gonna call you Jessica. And like that's her name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mrs. Bossy Pants.
Okay, baby boss.
Yeah, literally.
How old were you?
I was like 3 and a half.
Oh, okay.
So I was just like, nope, that's what I'm gonna call her. So you guys can either jump on board or not, but I'm gonna call her this. My parents were like, okay, I guess.
This train's leaving the station. So
well, good thing you came up with a cool name. I mean, you stood up there and be like, I'm gonna call you Angus. Well, I guess it's well,
it is what it is.
Angus. You're welcome, Cranston. Jessica.
No offense to anyone in Scotland called Angus, by the way. I know there's millions of you.
Yeah, and last one is I got named somewhat similarly. Mm. And great uncle walked in and they were trying to decide between Cenk and Mert. And he didn't know that it wasn't settled. He thought it was Cenk. And so he just started calling me Cenk. And it got awkward. And they didn't, like, they were like, we don't want to correct him. Yeah. He's an elder of the family. I guess it's Cenk.
That's cool.
Otherwise, I would have been Mert Jüger.
Mert Jüger.
Yeah.
I like Cenk.
I like Cenk better. Yeah. Thanks, great uncle, whoever you were.
I like Cenk, and I still like that. There's still so many people that will call it Cenk, or what's the most common like
Cenk, Cenk. I've heard Cenk.
Cenk actually is the most common.
Yeah.
Because they're trying hard.
Yeah. It's,
yeah. Well, Cenk and Cenk are neck and neck, and then Yank sometimes, Hank, Sink, Sanka.
It's amazing where the mind will go. I don't want to rag on Americans too much, but because you guys pronounce everything, right? So like when I did the little video around the studio of pronouncing British soccer team names, because like specifically the
Leicester.
Team the team called Leicester,
or
which
Leicester,
is pronounced, which is spelled L-E-I-C-E-S-T-E-R. And just the way you can literally
see
their wheels
like
turning, and it's like
Leicester,
Leicester, Leicester. Like they'll just try and pronounce every little syllable of it.
I'm
and
sure I've done that.
Yeah, it's just like that's Leicester. Interesting.
Yeah. I briefly had a Filipino girlfriend, and she used to call me Oh Zhang. It's true. Okay. Anyway, God bless. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you, guys.